Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps to build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode. Josh,
yeah, buddy.
You texted me last night saying that you have many pages of notes. Yeah. You're very excited about today's episode. Will you please reveal what it's about?
Well, today we are doing clones.
Clones! Like little sheep clones.
Yeah.
Was it called Dolly?
Dolly the sheep, yeah? Yeah, she's in there. We're not talking the 501st clone troopers from Star Wars. Not that kind of clones.
I'm kind of surprised about that.
Yeah.
I thought there was definitely going to be some Star Wars in here somewhere.
Well, I've got to give it a shout out. Attack of the Clones. And, well, a lot of Star Wars is based on clones.
That is true, yeah.
They're throughout Star Wars. So
yeah.
It's kind of close to my heart.
Can I just interject very, very quickly with a fact about clones?
Yep.
The rock band Ash has a song called Clones.
Cool.
There you go. I bet you didn't put that in your notes.
No, I didn't.
And you're normally the one that does pop culture.
I have got some pop culture. And I have to say, this pop culture is going to blow your mind.
I'm looking forward to it, mate.
But no, I don't have any songs or films, to be honest. I just have celebrities.
Oh,
but we'll
fair
get
enough.
To that bit.
Fair enough. Like Mini-Me.
Yeah. Yeah, the clone that went wrong. I always found that hilarious in Austin Powers with the clones in Mini-Me.
Yeah.
Exactly the same, but just
That was a parody of the film that I keep mentioning that you always laugh at, The Island of Dr. Maru.
Yeah.
Dr. Maru was played by Marlon Brando, who was just on a complete weird one throughout the entire film. He took it on himself to paint his face white and hire this little this actor to be his miniature clone, and it wasn't even in the script.
Fair play. Yeah, well, that's Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
And his little mini-me clone. But no, today we're going to talk about actual cloning, clones, Real life stuff, my man. And the sheep.
The sheep that started it all off.
Yeah, well.
Or did it? I don't know.
Did it?
I don't know.
Were there possibly two sheep before Dolly?
Well, maybe. Well,
we'll get there. Let's get the boring stuff out of the way first.
Okay, why not?
The term clone and cloning was first used and introduced by a man called JBS Haydane in 1969. And what is cloning, I hear you cry?
What is cloning?
Well, cloning in its simplest form involves producing individuals or cells with identical DNA, either naturally or artificially.
Fair enough.
That's the simplest term I could find.
Like taking a plant cutting.
Yes.
And potting it on and growing a new plant. It would have the same DNA as the original plant, but it would, in theory, be a clone, I guess.
Well, you mentioned plants, so I might as well skip this whole page. No,
don't let me ruin your flow.
So cloning is a natural form of reproduction used by plants.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Fungi and bacteria. That has enabled life forms to spread for hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah, I guess.
That's the
cells that split and reproduce. Yeah, I guess.
So, yeah, I guess that is probably another simple way of explaining cloning. Yeah, plants and stuff. So, there's three different types of artificial cloning.
Ooh.
There's gene cloning. This involves creating copies of genes or DNA segments. There's reproductive cloning, which involves making duplicates of whole animals, and I'm guessing plants would fall under that category as well.
Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Jurassic Park, yeah. And therapeutic cloning. This involves creating embryonic stem cells.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
So that's the three artificial cloning types. Now, reproductive cloning, that's the one that interested me the most. So that's
well,
the
naturally,
one.
Yeah.
It's
going to be the most controversial, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So I thought I'd kind of focus on that kind of cloning.
Yeah,
if that
go
makes
for
sense.
It.
So reproductive cloning began in 1885.
Really?
Using sea urchins.
See, every time you date something, it's like I wouldn't have put cloning as much before like the 1960s or 70s.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the thing. Proper cloning, like Dolly the sheep and everything, was 1960s.
Right, okay.
But in 1885, this will make you laugh. So, using sea urchins, a German biologist called Hans Driesch.
Yeah.
D-R-I-E-S-C-H. Driesch. I'm not very good with
names. I think that's right, yeah.
He was the first man to achieve embryo twinning by separating embryonic cells, and the separated cells continued to grow and then could later on be implanted into surrogates.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a test tube babies sort
yeah.
of thing, yeah.
So that began in 1885. So off the back of Hans Driesch, this is the bit that'll make you laugh. In 1902, another German embryologist, also called Hans,
yeah.
His last name is Spiemann. Hans Spiemann. So you've got Hans Driesch and Hans Spiemann. Hans Spiemann used the same technique as Hans Driesch, so like the hands
yeah,
before
yeah.
him. A couple of hands. And
standing on the hands of giants.
So he used the same method to clone salamanders.
Oh, right.
In
a little
1902.
Lizard,
yeah.
Fair play.
And then you fast forward a few years, and then obviously with cloning as well, it's one of those things scientifically.
It's going to be a slow advance.
It's a very slow burner. So between the years of 1902, nothing really big and substantial happened until 1953.
Right.
So there's a good 50, 51 years there
yeah.
where Robert Briggs and Thomas King were able to complete the first successful nuclear transfer by transferring the nucleus of an early tadpole embryo into a frog. And the reason I say nuclear and question myself is because you've got nucleus and then you've got nuclear,
yeah,
which I think of war and
yeah,
radiation.
It's referring to the nuclear in this context is referring to the cell.
Yes.
The nucleus of the cell.
And with those two guys doing that.
Not making atomic frogs.
No, definitely not. Hypnotoad. In 1958, John Gurdon spelt like Gordon, but with a U instead of an O.
Right.
So John Gurdon was the first to successfully clone an animal using somatic cell nuclear transfer. So very similar to the two previous people.
Okay,
But slightly different. He was just a bit more successful, so I've just got to give him a shout-out.
Yeah, just slightly different method, but the same sort of transfer, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty much where it began. I've given them guys a little shout-out there. But they were the forefathers, would you say, of cloning?
The pioneers.
The pioneers, that's the word I'm looking for. So then we reach the Roslin Institute.
Ooh, sounds ominous.
It's pretty freaky, this place. So
sounds like the kind of place that you'd encounter in a weird computer game.
The Roslin Institute. Clones. Yeah, it does. I get, Resident Evil vibe?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
So, established in 1993, the Roslin Institute is an animal sciences research institute, part of the University of Edinburgh.
Oh, okay, England. Well, Scotland.
Now, I've got to give these two guys the biggest shout out because we're getting to the bulk of the cloning here. So, in 1996, British scientists Ian Wilmot and Keith Campbell transferred the nuclei from cultured cells into inoculated sheep egg cells. Have I said that word right?
I think so.
Inoculated?
Inoculated.
There's a lot of, that's pretty much the fanciest word that I've written down.
Fair enough. So,
into sheep egg cells. All previous cloning experiments used donor nuclei from cells in early embryos. So these two guys, Campbell and Wilmot, they then, with the experiment they did with the cells and the embryos, they created lambs, and they were born in this experiment, and they were named Megan and Morag. And they paved the way for Dolly the sheep.
Whee! Dolly's cow. Well, to be fair, I like the names Megan and Morag.
Yeah.
Morag's a very Scottish name, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Morag.
The pioneer of the Scottish sheep.
Now, the reason people know Dolly the sheep is because Dolly the sheep actually survived
the longest, wasn't it?
Yeah. It lasted 6 years.
Is it years? Was it? Yeah. I thought it was only months, but
yeah,
fair play.
So Dolly was born, where is it? Well, it says here she's written down in 2000. Yeah, she died in 2003 and she was 6 years old. So,
fair play.
But that's the reason a lot of people recognize Dolly the sheep as it was the first successful kind of cloning.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people don't know about Megan and Morag because
did they only last a few days?
I think it was literally
like it
was either 3 weeks or 3 months.
Okay.
If you know what I mean. So, it wasn't technically successful,
right?
If you know what I mean. But, so after
probably
this,
had like unstable organs or something, was it? And just
yes,
couldn't grow properly.
Organs does come up.
Okay.
So, You're not quite in my head. Like you mention things that are slowly like you can see from my notes. You're like one step ahead a little bit. So after this, still in 1996, in a landmark experiment, Wilmot and Campbell created the first mammal by somatic cell nuclear transfer. Obviously, talking about Dolly.
Yeah, we've already covered that. Yeah.
A nucleus from an adult sheep udder. A nucleus from an adult sheep's udder cell was transferred again into an inoculated egg.
Okay, so they're not even actually using, like, sperm cells or anything like that. It's literally just a cell from pretty much any part of the body.
Yeah, and back in the day as well, I think it was the previous couple of guys I mentioned, King. I want to say King. I'm sure it's... Yeah, King and Briggs. I'm pretty sure I read as well that they were using baby hairs to split the cells.
Oh, right.
So they were creating little nooses and they were splitting the cells using baby hairs.
Wow.
Interesting. So out of 277 attempts, only one was successful. The famous lamb named Dolly after Dolly Parton.
That's right, yeah.
This brought cloning to the forefront of science and into the public light.
I remember it on Blue Peter.
So, unfortunately, Dolly did pass, but she
six years is a pretty reasonable age for a sheep, really. Yeah. I mean, They say that a sheep will live for 30 years if you can find a way of making its teeth last long enough, because obviously they're grinding, eating grass all day. They literally just wear their teeth out and then they can't eat, so they die.
That's a shame.
That's pretty much what happens in old age with sheep. But so 6 years, that's a fairly respectable age for a sheep.
And some of the pictures I saw online of Dolly's sheep were quite funny, because it's literally one sheep in a pen and there's loads of paparazzi, like the first cloned sheep, and this poor sheep is just kind of sat there in this pen like, what is all the fuss about? Just let me eat my grass. It's quite funny. So the Rosalind Institute, this is a really good company, by the way. Like, I was actually really impressed. I'm not going to give you everything they've cloned, but they've done a lot of good.
Okay.
So the Rosalind Institute, after Dolly, went on to clone mice, camels, and endangered species such as aguar, G-A-U-R. An aguar is a type of ox in 2001, and it was borderline extinct, this ox. So in 2001, I said my words wrong there. So they cloned the ox in 2001.
Okay,
is what I meant. But that was on the borderline of extinction. And same with the macaque monkey. They cloned that in 2017. They cloned that. And that was actually the first successful cloning of a primate using nuclear transfer.
Fair play.
So this institute, shout out to them, because they're doing a lot of good stuff for, like, they've done other things like other endangered species and stuff like that. But the list was actually quite long. I thought, I'm not going to go through everything, but you can check out their website and stuff.
Fair play. More power to them. They're doing good work there.
Yeah. And then they also mention themselves. There's another company that I think they kind of work with the Rosalind Institute, or they kind of mention each other because they're all kind of doing good work.
Mm-hmm.
So Revive and Restore. Also .org if you want to check them out. They're looking to bring back the...
Oh, is that the website, reviveandrestore.org?
It's the company. So the company is called Revive and Restore, but their website is reviveandrestore.org.
Okay, yeah. So if you wanted to, you could go online and check that out.
And they're probably most famous for trying to bring back the woolly mammoth.
Oh, yes. I do remember that, yeah.
So they want to clone a woolly mammoth and kind of introduce it into elephant DNA.
I think they had to do it in gradual stages, if I remember rightly. You can't just turn an elephant straight into a woolly mammoth. It has to be done over several iterations until, you know...
Yeah, apparently there's a lot of science behind it. I mean, I would have just thought... How hard is it to stick an elephant or a woolly mammoth just
from a woolly mammoth, grab a cell, chuck it inside mummy elephant, and we got a new mammoth.
I just had a vision.
My baby's a bit hairy.
I had a vision of like a cartoon where some guy's just got an elephant and he's got like scotch tape and he's just sticking loads of hair to an elephant. I'm like, what do you mean? It's a woolly mammoth. But no, they're actually looking to
throw a rug on it.
They're actually looking to repopulate tundra and forests in North America with woolly mammoths.
Oh, okay.
Don't know why, and it's a little bit secret and hush-hush, but that company...
Well, we just broke that wide open, didn't we?
They're just trying to bring back woolly mammoths, but...
Fair enough.
As far as we know, it's not quite successful at the moment, but they're working on it.
Well, mammoth ivory is worth twice as much as elephant ivory, so, you know.
Ah... So
it's a risky business.
That pretty much brings me to the next kind of subsection of cloning. So we've done the animals
and
the endangered species and stuff. All good reasons for cloning, in my opinion.
Real good work.
Now, this is a little bit confusing because it's kind of technically not cloning, but it is, if that makes sense. So bear with me.
Okay.
So I didn't realise it's actually difficult to clone certain organs in the human body. So
probably, yeah. Like I imagine hearts. Like a liver is quite easy because it practically grows itself anyway, doesn't it? But I would imagine some organs are going to be really quite complicated organs. Like you say, your heart,
like the heart.
A brain, this is going to be one of the more difficult things to clone, isn't it?
So because some organs are difficult to clone and to get them working properly to be successful, a solution to this is to use transgenic animals such as pigs. So that's why. Do you remember the story of the guy?
The pig heart boy.
Got the pig heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. As far as I know from the research, he's still alive.
I think so. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, but we, off the back of that, some organs obviously are difficult, but we can actually easily clone such things as ears, noses, and skin. So stuff that isn't technically an organ, but it is.
Prosthetics, I guess.
Yeah. And a lot of it is done on, like, they started off by growing it on the backs of mice.
I remember the very famous picture of an ear growing on the back of a mice.
Yeah. And also, South Park has an episode. I've got it here if anyone wants to check it out. Season 12, episode 5. It's called Eek a Penis. And that is about Mr. Garrison trying to get his penis back. And the episode is great. And
well, they grow him a new one on the back of a mouse.
Yeah.
Do they?
The mouse escapes from the facility. So the whole episode, they're chasing a mouse with a penis.
With a giant dong waggling around on his back. Yeah.
But yeah, it is fantastic. And obviously,
chase my pecker.
I think he says something like that as well. Or he's like, that's my penis. I'm running after it. Obviously, I've mentioned Star Wars, like the Clone Wars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said to you about the guy called Tamara Morrison, who he must be making bank because his face is on all of the clones.
Oh, yeah, the guy, yeah.
It's literally his cartoons, everything. It's like his face is like a trademark for Star Wars at this point.
Yeah, because he was the actor that applied for the role of the clone.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, which obviously puts him in every Star Wars episode or film or anything since he's been hired in that role, isn't it, really?
Now, this is where it gets interesting, because we're almost towards the kind, not the end, we've still got loads of time, but that's all the science-y stuff.
That's all the fun stuff and the science.
This is now where the...
You warned me that this episode was going to turn a little bit dark.
Oh, it does. Yeah, yeah. So we're not quite there yet, but I want to ask you, do you think cloning a human is morally acceptable? Like, what's your opinion? Like, if someone came to you and said, we can clone you, and you could essentially have another version of you to do other stuff that you don't want to do, would you be swayed, or is it an easy decision for you? What's your opinion on it?
That's actually a really hard one, because it's the same with, like, the genetic engineering, where they say that they could engineer your genetics so that blokes never go bald, or, you know, you're guaranteed to live to 100, or, you know, something like that. I think there's good elements to this kind of thing that can happen. You know, you could almost eradicate diseases by doing this sort of thing. But would I want a clone of myself out there that potentially could bump me off and take my place?
Yeah. And imagine if they do a crime and then...
I could get prosecuted for a crime that I didn't even commit.
Well,
my fault this time.
Well, I will just say a little tidbit of information. When Bill Clinton was president, he actually took the podium because there was some sort of stir about human cloning when it all kind of came into the public light. And you can actually find the clip on YouTube. And he starts talking about how there's no human cloning going on. It's morally corrupt. And I know, Bill Clinton talking about morals.
And then he looks over his shoulder and winks at someone who looks just like him.
I mean, I won't go into the politics of Bill Clinton, but he's enjoying his uranium money anyway. So, well, I mean,
let's step away from that, Josh. Go
on. You can edit that out if you like. So, anyway, so that's just a side note. He spoke about cloning and saying it wasn't good, not happening or anything. So, the first attempt of human cloning was November 1998.
Okay.
And researchers at Advanced Cell Technology in Massachusetts and Kyungji University in South Korea separately announced the successful creation of the first cloned human embryos.
Okay.
So just the embryos. But then in December 27th, 2002, the birth of the first human clone called Eve in Florida by CloneAid was created, and the CEO, Bridget Boislier, announced this. She actually announced it and said, yeah, we've successfully done this, but there's no evidence, there's no proof, and since then, it's been hush-hush.
Right.
So she basically, a press conference, said all this stuff and was like, yeah, we've done it, we've created this successful clone, human, given birth, Eve, but there is no evidence whatsoever. It is literally her word of mouth.
It does jog a distant memory, that. Mm-hmm. But I thought the human cloning science experiments mm-hmm. was more to clone stem cells.
Yeah.
Like for stem cell therapy, because stem cells are strange cells. They can become anything. Mm-hmm. They can become new heart cells. They can become new brain cells. They can take place of any part of your body. And I thought that's what it was all about. I didn't realise that they were actually taking it one step further and cloning entire humans. I'm not sure about the morality of that one.
Well, a lot of people actually use stem cells to repair.
So good, so good, so good. Perfect gifts? We've got them at Nordstrom Rack stores now. UGG, Nike, Barefoot Dreams, Kate Spade New York, and more. Find everything on their wish list, all in one place.
Steve Madden? Yes, please.
It's perfect.
Did we just score?
The greatest gifts of all time? Yeah.
Head to your Nordstrom Rack store to score. Great brands, great prices, the greatest gifts of all time.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds lower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Yeah, certain muscles, things, don't they? Like I remember reading or hearing about UFC fighters having stem cells after an injury,
quite possibly,
things like that. So I know Joe Rogan's talked about it on his podcast before about having stem cells and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's really
there was a Family Guy episode where Peter Griffin had a stroke, and then walks into a stem cell research lab. And comes out 5 minutes later, perfectly fine. And he's like, why aren't we investing in this?
Yeah. The research is still going on as well. But it's absolutely fascinating. But there's actually several laws in place against cloning humans.
Okay, so, that doesn't surprise me.
And supposedly this is because cloning can cause profound genetic errors, which can result in early and painful deaths. It's also an area of research, but it's not in medical practice as of 2023. So as of now, they're saying there's no human cloning going on. So in America, USA, they actually, in the 108-18 Human Cloning Prohibition Act in 2003. So they've banned it as of 2003.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
We were a little bit earlier. The UK banned human cloning as part of Chapter 23 in 2001.
Yeah.
And after that, it was pretty much worldwide, not every country, which I will get to, but worldwide, most countries, it is completely illegal to create a human clone knowingly as of 2004. So it seems like morally...
You could do it accidentally.
Yes, yeah. That's the bit where I'm like... That doesn't make sense, knowingly. So it's illegal to knowingly create.
I thought it was another sheep.
Yeah. So 2004, and like we went back to, well, we'll go back and say, it's like morally, it seems around the world, people aren't interested in human cloning.
Yeah. But it's a grey area, I suppose, isn't it? Because the more you clone, the less genetic diversity you're going to have, aren't you, at the end of the day?
Yeah. So now, that brings me to the pop culture section.
Of course there is.
Now these come on then.
There's got to be a cloned celebrity out there.
I got four for you.
Wow, go on.
Now I'll start with this one because I think a lot of people have heard this rumor. Paul McCartney supposedly
is
killed in a car accident in 1969 and replaced by a lookalike. And in the song Strawberry Fields, John Lennon can be heard saying, "I buried Paul." But when fans looked into it, a lot of them say he says cranberry sauce. So I don't know how "I buried Paul" and cranberry sauce sound a lot alike.
I don't know. But I know that the Beatles were taking a lot of drugs at the time that they made that album. So,
but also,
I wouldn't read too much into the lyrics.
No. Also, the conspiracy theory of Paul McCartney dying and then being replaced and stuff. The Beatles actually knew about that years ago, and they played into it.
Oh, right, did they? I do
know that that old conspiracy theory, and apparently they found it hilarious. So they did start writing lyrics about, like, Paul's dead and stuff if you play songs backwards and things like that. But they played into it. But that's the one that's kind of most known, is people were like, oh, yeah, Paul McCartney, oh, he died in 1969. Well, that's one conspiracy.
Fair enough, yeah.
The other one, which a lot of people actually believe this. Okay. I don't personally, because, I mean, I spent hours down the rabbit hole yesterday. I don't see it. But a lot of people think Avril Lavigne allegedly died in 2003 and was replaced by her body double, Melissa Vandella. Now, people can look into that, because there's a photo shoot where Avril Lavigne's got Melissa written on her hand. And, you know, there's like, well, I've not the mic now.
Right.
So there's weird little conspiracies. People have, you know, when they get the two images side by side on the face and they put a line down and they're like, oh, look, her nose is slightly different and stuff like that. She sounds different, apparently.
No, but the main problem that I've got with this, with these theories, particularly Paul McCartney, he was killed in a car accident in 1969, yet they didn't actually perfect human cloning techniques until, what was it, 2003, the late 90s, early 2000s? The same with Avril Lavigne. If she died in 2003, how are they going to replace her with an adult body double?
Yes.
If they haven't had time to actually grow it?
Well, I'll get into it with the last celebrity.
Okay.
But one of the celebrities, I'll just quickly mention, he believes that this has secretly been going on since the early 60s.
Right.
So he thinks that where other countries have banned human cloning, there's certain countries, which I'll get to, haven't actually banned human cloning. And he thinks in those countries, they've just continued since the 60s and they've actually managed to do cloning.
Right.
If that makes sense. But, I mean, there's holes in every theory.
But again, you'd have to almost have precognitive abilities to say, oh, I know that Paul McCartney's going to die next in a few years in 1969. Let's get a clone of him growing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, I did read, when I also tried to debunk myself researching this, a lot of people were like, well, no, because if it was a clone, there would be a baby. It's not like you can just clone yourself and then there's like another
adult male
version of you. It doesn't work that way.
No, it can't.
So, I mean, I might have just ruined the paranormality scale at the end. But, so I'll just quickly get through a couple more. So this one I didn't know about. And it's actually quite freaky when you see the pictures. And I would urge people to go look at the pictures because it's pretty identical. So supposedly Taylor Swift is a clone.
Okay.
Of a priestess from the Church of Satan. Called Zena Lavey.
Right.
She was a high priestess from 1985 to 1990. And she stopped just 1 year before Taylor was born. Some people say 9 months before,
ooh,
right? But if you look at the pictures of Taylor Swift and Zena Lavey, even I think they look...
Doppelgangers, that is
100%. Like, you look at it, and I was looking at the picture going, they must be 97%, like, genetically linked, because they are so spitting image of it. Like, it was scary. I actually thought, they've just got two pictures of Taylor Swift, and then you realise that the picture is a little bit grainy and stuff from the 80s. So you're like, oh, well, that's not Taylor Swift. But honestly, she looks quite identical. So that's the only one
maybe got some credence.
Yeah, it's a little bit convincing. And the fact that, you know, it was 9 months to a year before Taylor was born, there's a little bit there.
Yeah, it's got some sway.
And we're dealing with Satan there. She was a high priestess of the Church of Satan. She could have sacrificed. So,
the Church of Satan, or Satan, devil worshippers and whatnot, get a lot worse press than what they actually stand for.
Why is that?
Well, you know, but I'm not going to go into it right now. But maybe we'll cover that in a different episode.
Yeah, we'll cover Satanism and satanic rituals.
Satanism, but yeah, they're, honestly, it's not quite as dark and like devilish as media would have you, or pop culture would have you believe.
Yeah,
in
that's
actual
true.
Fact.
I have heard actually Satanists, some of their beliefs and stuff isn't actually that bad.
No, it's not. It's really not.
But this brings me to the closer, the last one. We're doing all right for time.
Oh, yeah.
This is the last one. So there is a rapper from New Jersey who resides in Florida. His name is Kid Buu. Kid Buu is named after a Dragon Ball Z character. So for people that know it, Kid Buu is spelt B-U-U.
Yeah.
So he claims himself that he is a clone made by Clonaid. They take the bone fragments from the front of your skull between your eyes to make clones able to share memories and consciousness. So he fully believes that clones, they're not from babies. They literally are able to create clones that are the same age, memories, consciousness, and they are able to go out and do things that they don't want to do.
How do they do what? Because now I imagine it. You know, like in Avatar. Oh, have you not seen Avatar?
I've not seen
Avatar. Well, in Avatar, obviously the humans are able to communicate with the aliens by creating alien bodies cloned from their own genetic cells, crossed with the alien genetic cells, and then they transfer their consciousness. And the alien bodies are grown in these giant, like liquid-filled test tube. Type things.
Oh, right.
And that's kind of what I'm imagining now, is that you'd have like adult babies that aren't even conscious but just floating around in a watery,
that's a horrible
umbilical
image.
Sort of thing. And yeah, because I always thought that with a clone, obviously you'd grow it to the point of birth, and then it would grow naturally as a human, not because that would be horrible. If you were a clone, or like this Kid Buu guy, thinking I'm a clone, but I've missed half my life because I was only born at the age of 21.
Yeah, but then he's saying that because what is that thing? The gland, isn't it? It's like the cerebellum, is it?
Well, the cerebellum is your brain.
Oh, that's the back. Yeah. No, you're right. So pituitary gland, is that the one?
Could be, yeah.
So he's basically saying they use that. So in your theory, if you wouldn't be thinking I've missed half my life, because he's thinking I am this.
Oh, so
guy.
He's got the memories of the life that he's taken, I guess.
That's what he believes. So you can check this guy out. There's so many videos on YouTube, TikTok, social media, wherever you want to find it on. He has got some compelling interviews where he seems to be able to reel off like codes and digits and things. So, I saw one video. Obviously, take it with a pinch of salt because I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But someone will ask him a question and be like, "Oh, so explain it to me." And it's almost like some people would say it's a script, but I don't think so, because it's almost like he's memorized it or whatever. But it's so fluent, and he'll say, "Oh, I'm so-and-so, and my actual number is 21847. And it flows.
Okay.
So in certain interviews, the way he talks about being a clone and things like that, it's very convincing. I'm not saying I believe it, but I'm just saying he makes a good argument. And some of the stuff he says, some of the stories and his background, and there's a little bit of a shady background being raised by, I think it was a single mother, and not really knowing much of his childhood and things are hazy and...
Well, it would be if it's somebody else's memory, wouldn't it?
And it's just, he's a very odd guy, but, you know, check out for yourselves. I don't judge.
I will, yeah.
You know.
It confuses me, like I said, the moral issue of growing a clone to adult age with memories and experiences that aren't their own, and then just turning them out to the world as an adult.
Yeah,
to see how they cope. That's very dark.
It's very dark,
isn't it?
And the darkest thing, which I will close on, is, do you remember I mentioned Clone Aid?
Mm-hmm.
So they are the biggest company that specialize in human cloning. Now, I know what you're thinking, and I know what the people are saying. They're saying, Josh, there's no way they're open about that. Please just go to cloneaid.com. I'll spell it out for you. C-L-O-N-A-I-D. Their website, it actually says experts in human cloning.
Right.
And the creepiest part about it is they just have a brief statement saying that they're no longer like residing in Canada because they were a Canadian company. The country is now moved and it's in an undisclosed place. And
okay.
Since 2001.
Well, you said not every country has passed a law on human cloning. So obviously, yeah.
And when I typed in on search engines.
That's pretty shady, isn't it?
When I typed in on search engines, countries where human cloning isn't illegal, all it kept doing was bringing me up laws and countries that have banned human cloning. It doesn't actually say countries where it's still legally going on or anything like that. And you can please check out this website. I'm not making this up.
They are very
open about it. They want to clone humans.
Well,
they
I would imagine that there's nearly 200 independent countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, not all of them have passed this law on banning it. I would imagine, I'm saying this with a little bit of trepidation, but places like, say, North Korea, it wouldn't surprise me if they had a cloning program going on.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? I'm not pointing a finger to say that there is, but a country like that, it wouldn't surprise me. So, for them to move from North America, or was it North America? Canada.
Mm.
Yeah, they would be looking for a country like that to set up shop, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But, I mean, is that to carry on creating humans, or is it to create, like you say, false ears and stuff like that?
I mean, has
that aspect of it been banned? Because we know there's that guy that walks around the town where we live, who through, I think it was drug use, wasn't it?
Lost
his member.
Yes, his appendage.
And I guess at the NHS has kind of grown him a new one.
Yeah.
On his arm, and he walks around the day pulling his t-shirt up and showing it and waggling it around at people, doesn't he? It's quite a funny bloke.
Yeah.
And
we've seen that with our own eyes.
Actually our own eyes. I think he just kind of lost interest in actually having his member reattached in the proper place, didn't he? Because he found it so funny just showing people while it was still attached to his arm.
I did hear a rumour that they tried to call him back to get it attached, and it's been like 3 years now. But no, I don't think actual making ears and noses and things, that's not illegal. It's the actual cloning.
It's actual cloning full humans.
Yeah, it is illegal.
And creating actual babies.
Yeah. But if people are worried out there, in my research, I did find it said the top 35 countries that are, like, I think it was 30, 35 countries that have issued that law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's most of Europe, UK, America. Yeah. It's the main countries. I'm not saying main.
All of the UK Commonwealth countries, I would imagine it would be like Australia and New Zealand and all that sort of thing.
Yes,
so it's going to be some pretty out there countries, some African ones, you know, the far Asian ones, perhaps, you know, maybe little independent islands here and there.
So that's pretty much it, mate. So I've left it on the fact that people need to go check out the website for Clone Aid, because it's kind of weird, eerie stuff. It's not like dark, where, you know, there's armies of clones like Star Wars or anything. It's just a bit eerie knowing that there's a company. There's not that much information on the website. It just tells you what they're about, and it's just a little bit eerie. But I just want people to go check out Clone Aid to show that, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. Like, this is a genuine website.
Yeah, I believe you.
And
mate,
a company actually trying to, you know, clone humans.
And they're kind of being outwardly shady.
Yes.
By saying, oh, we're moving to a country that doesn't have laws against this, you know.
And the fact that
it's like saying we're ignoring our morals and just going where we're allowed to experiment with these things.
And the fact that they claimed to have cloned the first human in 2002, 2003... But there's no evidence of it and stuff. Like,
Eve,
like about baby Eve being the first clone. because they don't have evidence or proof to back it up and stuff, I just get like a shady vibe from
yeah.
And Kid Buu mentions CloneAid being the company that cloned him. So there's just a little bit of eerie.
It's kind of linked, isn't it? Yeah. There is definitely some tethered links there.
But Kid Buu is the one that says that they've been cloning since the early 1960s and he's seen it and, you know, he's got friends that are cloned. And
does he have memories from the 1960s? That's what I'd like to know.
I've not seen an interview where he mentions it. I've seen one video where it's supposedly a live stream, but he uploaded it.
Right.
And he sat on the sofa, and there's quite a big gap between the other end of the sofa, and then his clone walks in.
Oh, that'd be easy to fake.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have seen that video, which instantly made me go, that's a load of rubbish then. Do you know what I mean? Like, debunked.
My question in that case would be, are there any distinguishing features that could separate the two? Like, has one got his hair dyed red? Has he got any tattoos that the other one hasn't got? You know, or anything
they're
like
both
that?
Exactly the same, which is even why I think it's just clever editing.
Yeah,
because it's like dyed pink red dreadlocks, exact same face tattoos, because he's like a mumble rapper.
Right.
He's got tattoos all over his face and head and neck.
But a clone wouldn't have clone tattoos.
That's the bit that I'm like, well, tattoos are artificial. So if you clone, so I'm not going to talk bad on Kid Buu because he's an interesting guy.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
If you look into his past and him growing up and stuff, I think there's a little bit of trauma there.
Yeah.
Personally, but I don't know. I'm not going into that part of it. He's just an interesting guy.
Yeah, we're not
going to
disrespect the guy, obviously. Yeah. We're just taking his case.
He's just an interesting dude that has a story that's different to other people. Yeah. And he says there's other celebrities that are cloned that don't talk about it, and he's just there, you know.
He's the only one that's, like, open.
Yeah, and supposedly he hires his own, you know, allegedly, I should say, he hires his own security and things because people are after him or whatever you want to call it. But it's a whole conspiracy, and that's what we like here, is conspiracy theories. So I managed to get a bit of conspiracy in with the cloning.
And some science.
And some science, yeah.
Well, well done. So as we go into the paranormality rating.
Yes.
How high are you thinking of rating this?
Well, I mean, cloning is a real thing.
It is.
Science, with the endangered species and being able to clone ears and noses and things like that, I actually do think there's a lot of good that's come from legal cloning.
Yeah.
That has actually helped the world of science and helped human beings. And I think it's a really good, positive thing. Just because I mentioned conspiracy theories and celebrities at the end that are a little bit wishy-washy, I don't think that should discredit the actual science.
Oh, no, so definitely not. No.
Because of that, I'm a big advocate for this, especially with the endangered animals. I'm going to give it an 8.6.
8.6, yeah?
Yeah.
Funny, because I was literally just thinking about 8.5.
Yeah.
I would, for pretty much the same reasons.
Yeah. So I think,
so we can go with an 8.55.
We'll just go 8.5, why not?
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, I'll drop down. 8.6 is a bit high, isn't it? 8.5, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'm happy with that,
that's
mate.
That's good, yeah. Well,
and that's cloning, everyone.
Cloning.
Now go watch Attack of the Clones and get back to me on how...
No, don't watch
How
Attack of the Clones.
Average it is.
Watch one of the original three Star Wars, the good ones. Yeah. And that is quite a controversial point from your standpoint, I suppose, isn't it?
Oh, no, I agree with you, to be fair. Oh, the original three are the best.
They
but,
definitely are.
Oh, knock the table again.
Oh.
Because we're talking about clones, if you want to know more about clones from a science fiction standpoint, go watch Attack of the Clones. But also, as my mum said, don't watch Attack of the Clones because it's filled with kissy faces between Anakin and Padme.
Yeah, it was the most boring one.
Yeah, it's boring.
Really boring.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, I think we're going to draw this episode to a close. As always, write in paranormality.uk@gmail.com if you're a clone or you know a clone. Yeah. Or you want to be a clone.
Yeah.
That could be a thing. As always, like and subscribe. Comment on YouTube if you like, and on Instagram, TikTok, anywhere that we're on social media. There will be more of that sort of thing coming soon. But until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.